into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
Now then, we are talking Six Nations with Paul O'Connell and Sam Warburton. I'm very happy to tell you. We have recorded a big chat with the lads on the Lions and the Lions series, and that is waiting for you in all the usual places. But we're going to turn our attention to Six Nations for the next couple of minutes. Just on a point Sam made in our previous chat, Paul, where he talked about the Irish game being a huge game for the Welsh players and management. Where did the Welsh figure in Irish thoughts?
It was right up there, I suppose, in terms of the Six Nations. You know, in that middle period in the noughties, there was a period there where England weren't massively strong. And Wales were winning Grand Slams. And there was probably Gats like to throw a few grenades then at all the press conferences. So there were big, really big games for us. But there was never any sledging. There was never any niggle amongst the players, in my opinion or in my recollection anyway. But we were always trying to outsmart each other, I think. And they were very outsmart, Wales. You know, even there, what Sam says about them having a certain game plan and us knowing the game plan they were going to deliver and not being able to deal with it at times. Sometimes they completely changed that game plan for the first 5 minutes, but then they go back to the game plan everyone knew after about 5 minutes. I remember losing in I think it might have been in Croke Park to Wales, where Welsh game plan was same way all the time. They'd go all the way to the touchline, you know, not even just to the 5 meter line. They'd go all the way to the touchline. They'd come back with one set of forwards, and then they'd have a full back line ready to attack you then. But in this particular game, I think three times in the first 5 minutes, they just went back down the short side and they caught us and they scored tries, and the belief it gave them meant they went on and won the game. So in the 2011 game, they started sending Dan Lydiate around the corner off every set piece to be ready for Sean O'Brien and Stephen Ferris with a low chop tackle. And the belief that gives them, they also scored a great try off their game plan, total game plan execution as well in the first minute. And the belief that gave them then put us on the back foot. So it was always a big tactical, physical battle with Wales, but also a big tactical battle as well.
Sam, I know to some extent or other you've been involved with the Welsh camp. Is it in working as a breakdown specialist, or has that been like a full-time role, or is it ad hoc, or what's your involvement?
It was campaign-based, so I did the first game. There was only a one game in the Barbarians back in November as a breakdown coach. That's attacking breakdown and defensive breakdown. And then I did the Six Nations as well. I only did a week this campaign, and then I finished it, but I remember just chatting to coaches beforehand, and I just look at the way training is. You'll spend, a team could spend, just calculating my head quickly, a week, maybe three sets of half hour on lineouts. So an hour and a half on lineouts in a week. And you might have 10 to 15 lineouts a game. And then I say the amount of drills that we have to coach breakdown in attack and defence might take 6 minutes in the week, but there's 200 of them in a game. And it's very surprising actually how many, no offence, but how many backs in particular are very underskilled at breakdown when it comes to just clean out. So say that when you're watching a game and somebody might win a good turnover in a 5 meter channel or 15 meter channel, and people say, what a fantastic turnover. But the first thing I do is I look at the clean out and I think, what a terrible clean out. Like, you're making them look good. And that was one of the things I really wanted to focus on with Wales. I thought it was very undercoached area, which I think a lot of clubs, you know, they don't coach the breakdown as often as they should, given the fact that how important it is. And that was my role on both sides of the ball, right, attack and defence. But yeah, it didn't quite fit. I probably underestimated how much time it needed. I think if you're going to be a coach, you need to be a coach full-time. You can't do it part-time and try and juggle it with other commitments, which I had other pre-existing commitments, which made it difficult to fulfill the role, which is what I finished. And I've had the birth of I've got a 2.5, 3-month-old baby as well, on top of a 4-year-old. So the timing to be away for 2, 3 months at a time wasn't quite right for me as well. But obviously the thought of getting back to the national team was great. And that romantic idea of being back with the Welsh team was what drew me in. But yeah, the reality of that lifestyle again didn't appeal to me too much then.
Right. And so, Sam, you don't have ambitions medium term to go into coaching, do you?
No, I think that's my coaching career done. I thought it was a little itch and a scratch. I actually never thought I would coach anyway. Throughout my career, they'd send in, courses to the club, level 1, level 2, level 3, and boys all sign up for it. And I never signed up for any of them because I had no aspiration to coach when I finished playing. But when I finished, and part of me did think, well, there's a lot that I know which I could try and give to a young back rower. Well, I wish that someone like Martin Williams, for example, from an Irish perspective, someone like, say, David Wallace was someone I really liked watching. Or Paul Wallace, sorry, which one was on the 09-09
score? David Wallace.
David. I thought he was a brilliant player. I really enjoyed watching him when I was growing up because he was that physical, confrontational style of seven that I liked. To have someone of that ilk to come and coach you as 20 to 22 would have been fantastic. I think that was an underused tactic as well, bringing back players. Say someone like Paul, for example, when you finish playing, to have someone like that mentor your two most talented up-and-coming young second rows would be invaluable. So that's where I thought I could add.
Right.
And that was where I thought it would have been good to do.
Wales are finishing up their first, it's been a weird campaign, finishing up their Six Nations campaign in October, but their first one post-war in Gatland. And that is, a serious act to follow, Sam. And, your retirement and other players' retirements, it has felt like an end of an era, that World Cup. So what are realistic expectations for Wales over the next 2-3 years under Wayne Pivac?
There's obviously going to be some crossover with players, but I think that 2019 Grand Slam was probably the last of that era, if that makes sense, from the Gatland era of 2008 through to 2019, where there was, what's that, through 11 championships, there was 4 wins. That's pretty good going, given the strength of, Ireland, England. France had dipped off in that period, which allowed us to probably be a bit more prominent. But I think it will take time. And I think you've got to be, it's tough because arguably it's more cutthroat international rugby from a coaching perspective than it is at club level. But you can't judge international coaching setups as quickly as you would judge a coaching setup because you're only together for 4 to 5 months of the year as an international group, where club coaches are with their players for 11 months of the year. So you almost need twice as much time to bed in what you want to do. So that would be what I would say to any Welsh public who are probably a little bit worried about the potential lack of success so far. But it takes time. It takes time. There's going to be a transition. There's a lot of senior players who are probably in their last 1 or 2 years of rugby. And it's going to take a good couple of years to blood some of these youngsters until they become like household names again, So we're in that sort of, in the middle of that transition now. So Ireland sort of went through it when Paul and Brian retired, and it took them a year or two. Jamie Heaslip and those guys, and now they've kicked on again and they've bounced back and playing some good rugby again. So there is a little bit, there's going to be a bit of a lag. But yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later, things will pick up again.
Be great to get your thoughts on Ireland. Paul, I'll obviously bring you in on this in a moment. Ireland go to Paris this Saturday. They need a bonus point win to guarantee themselves the championship, which is just a kind of crazy ask. So we'll park that for a moment. But it's sometimes good to get an outsider view, Sam. So Ireland across 2019 and then what Andy Farrell's trying to do in 2020. What's your verdict or what are you seeing? Obviously, we had a great 2018 and then things fell apart by comparison.
Yeah, I think Ireland, where they were when they were really good, they were often, and every time Ireland beat us, it's because there was 2 things they'd always do very well. 1, they were more physical than us, and 2, they had a great kicking game. And that was the 2 things that we always focused on playing Ireland. We have to win the physical battle. They play so much off 9 in attack. If you don't match them physically there, then you got no hope. And also, the kicking duels between our 10s, 9s and 15s against the likes of Johnny Sexton and Rob Carney. And that was a massive battle, the kicking battle and the aerial battles. They were the 2 things which we always focused on playing Ireland. And perhaps like you look at the personnel Ireland had going back in perhaps 2011 through to 15, and like we say, it was, you know, Stephen Ferris and Sean O'Brien, Kian Healy, you know, all those guys at their peak, you know, an incredibly physical team. Probably haven't been as physical as they have been in previous years recently, as compared to when they've won championships and been successful. So getting back to that level is going to be the challenge of having the personnel to execute that. Because at top level rugby nowadays, you know, 90% of the time the most physical team wins. And that doesn't mean just, that's not just blind physicality. Like people say, what about Samoa then? Why aren't they the best team in the world? Obviously, it's got to be coupled with set piece, kicking game, strategy, tactics, of course. But, you know, the most physical team wins. And people say, well, New Zealand play fast and they're the most physical team and they're one of the best in the world. If you play New Zealand, they play flipping physical. Well, I've never been cleaned out or rucked as hard as when I played New Zealand. You know, they were incredibly physical. So you have to have that. And, you know, Ireland have got that in some of their players. I think that's why James Ryan is a really good fit for them at the minute. He brings that level of physicality that they need. You know, Tyke Furlong as well. You know, Kian Healy's there. But they need to, you know, I think, you know, Jack Conan, but I think the more boys who can deliver that, they need to find some players who can deliver that game plan for them as well to compete with the likes of, say, like France, who've got such an aggressive defence now under Sean Edwards.
Paul, what are you seeing from Andy Farrell's Ireland this year then?
I suppose they're definitely trying to play more. One thing that maybe Ireland were brilliant under Joe, you know, we great scrum, great set piece attack. I think we had a pretty good kicking game most of the time. And I think we're probably, when it's chaotic, that the new word in rugby, when it's a little bit unstructured, I think under Andy, we probably have a better structure to play like that. It's probably similar to what Leinster do, and it's probably similar to maybe what England does. And I think we'll probably end up kicking a little bit more in time, but probably kicking with more people. So I think we kicked a lot with Johnny Sexton and Conor Murray in the past. And I think the team that's really set themselves apart from world rugby at the moment is England. And they have a mixture of kickers. So they can kick with Ben Youngs, they can kick with George Ford, they can kick with Owen Farrell, and they've Elliot Daly at fullback. They bring on Henry Slade, who's a touch of an out half that plays second centre, and they can just do all these short kicks and these attacking kicks and brilliant kick chase game with Johnny May. So I think we'll probably end up heading that way in time, or I'd love to see us heading that way in time, where it's not about kicking just to get out of our half, it's kicking to put the opposition under pressure in their half of the field. So I think we've converted to that and moved to that over the last number of weeks. I think it's very hard to tell from the Italy game. If you look at the Zebra team that played Leinster at the weekend, they were so poor, and that probably hints at where Italy's game is at the moment. If you look at Wales versus France the other night, you'll see how physical it is going to be when Ireland play France at the weekend. I mean, I would say that France were almost out of control at times of the breakdown in terms of how hard they were trying to hit the Welsh. And that's what we have struggled with a little bit recently. You know, we struggled with it against England on more than one occasion. But it's like playing a different game, I think, playing Italy and playing France.
Yes, of course.
If we can match that, if we can win collisions, you know, we have to be technically and tactically on top of our game, but in pursuing that, you can't lose the physical part of our game. And you know, we're talking with Sam here. I remember Gatlin saying that to me one time, you know, when we had spent a lot of time on lineouts with the Lions. He said, listen, he said, the Welsh boys, they don't want to think a lot about the lineouts. They want simple calls because they want to play physically. If you have a lot going on in their heads, they're not going to be able to deliver physically, and neither are you. And it totally made sense to me, because whenever I played bad is when I was trying to tweak things in my game and I wasn't, you know, being aggressive in how I went about my business. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for Ireland at the weekend is how much France will want to knock them back, how much pressure they're going to put them under in the ruck. I mean, you can see Sean Edwards is involved in coaching the ruck now for France. And I think it's really important that the ruck gets refereed at the weekend for Ireland to be able to play. But So I think that's the big challenge for Ireland. It's to be able to deliver this game plan, but it's to be able to deliver it in a physical way as well. And I think we probably have some people coming through now that are going to be able to do that for us. Caelan Duras, I think, is going to be amazing in that regard. There's a few great hookers in Leinster who look like they're going to come through, who are going to be able to deliver in that regard. Hopefully, Cian Healy continues to hang on in there and can improve as well. James Ryan, CJ delivers physically. A few of our centres do as well. So I think that's the big challenge for Ireland. It's moving their game on so that they can deliver this attacking game that they want to deliver, but being able to deliver in a physical manner as well.
Okay. The odds on four tries in Paris are slim in that it's never happened before for a start.
Yeah, but the thing is, France still give up loads of opportunities here. Bernard Leroux should have been sent off against Wales the other day if the TMO had been doing his job. You just can't do, you know, he grabbed the player, Alan Jones, around his neck, then belted him in the face with his elbow. You just can't do that anymore. And you'd think they'd have learned their lesson from the World Cup against Wales, and you'd think they'd have learned their lessons from the match against Scotland, but they haven't. So they still offer you opportunities into the game. Some of their discipline was pretty poor at the weekend, and Ireland's driving ball against Italy was quite good. So I think we get a lot of opportunities to attack them. So I think France looked brilliant at times. Vakitawa, Gael Ficou, Dupont, Entomac, Aldridge, they've unearthed some incredible players. Mm. But they do still give you plenty of opportunities to get into the game. And if Ireland can, I suppose, hit the right notes, if they can play as close to their best, there's no reason we can't score four tries and win over there.
Okay. Well, on that note of optimism, we'll say our goodbyes. Paul O'Connell, great to have you back in the show. And Sam Warburton, great to have you on the show. Really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for your time, both of you.
Okay. Cheers.
No problem. Thank you.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.